So were there people worshiping the one true God outside of Abraham and his family? Find out today on Dive Deep. Welcome to Dive Deep. It's a privilege to have you join us as we grow together in our faith and seek to become disciples making disciples. I'm your host, Caleb Swartz, and joining me today is Pastor Ken. Welcome, Pastor Ken.
Hey, thanks, Caleb. Nice to be here.
Glad to have you today. And on Sunday, you shared with us kind of all the tenets of fulfilling the role of Messiah, what that looked like, and how Jesus did indeed satisfy each of them, serving as king, priest, judge, and Lord. And you offered a great challenge at the end, which I think is probably something all of us need to reflect on and go back to throughout our journey as a Christian. But I want to open right up. I'm curious. You know, often we think that Abraham and his family were really the start of the Jewish religion. And that's true, I guess, to some aspect. But it's hard to think of other people worshiping God outside of Abraham. The existence, as you share, of Melchizedek suggests otherwise. What do we know about followers of God outside of Abraham and his descendants?
It's interesting because it does say in the Bible about Melchizedek, he was priest of God Most High. And so we take that from that statement that Melchizedek was a believer, was a priest for that region, for people who served God, or at least believed in God. There's not a lot of evidence given to us, but if you look back through, there's a few key individuals that the Bible talks to, the fact that they had a faith in God. Mm-hmm. Adam and Eve, obviously, God walked with them. They were the first couple. Abel talks about him specifically and a little bit about Seth. Mm-hmm. But then it tells us names and who their sons were, but it doesn't really tell us a whole lot about their faith until you get to a few key people like Noah. Mm-hmm. And so if faith was alive in Noah, and Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord, it says, then obviously somebody had passed that faith on to Noah. And so right. There probably were other people. It's just not recorded for us. Mm-hmm. And then there's another gap until you really get to Abraham. When Abraham's faith came alive, we know that Abraham grew up in the area of Mesopotamia, that there are a lot of idol worshiping mm-hmm. people. In fact, it says that Abraham's father kind of had idols in his home. And so Abraham's faith really didn't come forth until God called him out and to move from his home. And so Abraham, we look at as the father of Judaism and the father of Christianity and also the father of Islam. So Abraham was definitely a God follower. But there's not a lot of evidence of other people. But it must have been there because it got passed down from generation to generation. And so you did have God-fearing people in there. We just don't have a lot of information about them.
Yeah, it's curious. It makes me wonder how widespread it was, because obviously from Mesopotamia back over then to modern Israel area, there were people following God. We just don't know a lot about them. So
yep, we're not given a whole lot of information. Wish we had more.
Yeah, well, one day we'll know, I guess.
One day.
So I'm curious, of the four roles that Jesus served, king, priest, judge, and Lord, which do you personally most identify with and why?
Like most people, I probably identify most with priest, mm-hmm. Jesus as Savior, because mm-hmm. that's how we talk about Jesus, the Son of God, most often, is he's mm-hmm. our Savior. But I think it's really good. Every once in a while, we're reminded, Pastor Ryan does this every once in a while, reminds us that we're really worshiping the Trinity. We're worshiping God, we're worshiping Jesus, and we're worshiping the Holy Spirit. All three deserve our praise because they're all God. Mm-hmm. But I think it's pretty typical that most people identify with Jesus as the priest, the one advocating on our behalf or right. mediating for us before God. So that's the one I probably identify with the most.
Okay. And which one is maybe the most challenging for you to identify with?
Challenging, that's an interesting way of putting it, because as a king, it's hard for me to relate. I shared in the sermon that you know, we're very fortunate we don't have a king in our country. Mm. And so as king, it's really hard for me to relate to that one. But having him on the throne of my life, mm-hmm. That's something that I constantly struggle with, you know, because mm-hmm. God's equipped me with a brain and with the ability to make decisions. And so I like to be in control and of myself and my life. And the idea of putting someone else on that throne of my life is challenging for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the idea of, I guess it ties in with being Lord, you know, king or Lord, is it's a constant struggle. The enemy constantly wants to dethrone our king and put ourselves. It's the easiest thing for us to put on the throne of our lives instead of Jesus. But he constantly wants to do that so that we can get derailed. Mm-hmm. And so it's something we have to constantly, we have to think about consciously of putting him back in position when we find that we've allowed him to slip out of the position he deserves to have.
I agree. And I think that slipping, it happens so subtly and you just don't realize it in such small ways until you kind of get to a place where you feel disconnected, empty, kind of void.
Yeah. It's one of the real important reasons why it's important for us to be in a community of faith. Mm-hmm. We can be called back to that on Sunday morning, but we can also be called back to it when we meet with our groups and talk to individuals who will challenge us. Mm-hmm. So the people that say, you know, we can do this on our own and we don't have to be in a community of faith, that's where it really becomes difficult. Because mm-hmm. I think it's so helpful to have somebody giving us a kick in the butt once in a while or putting their arm around us and saying, hey, I'm noticing some things. Those are really helpful times and it's really important for us to do.
Yeah, I think that's why I appreciated your challenge so much, because it is something, like you said, that we have to constantly think about. If we don't think about it, we just naturally slip. It's just kind of how we are.
Yeah.
And so to think, okay, have I ever put him on the throne of my heart? That's the first question. But then to say, is he still on the throne of my heart? You know,
I don't even think we really know what that means. I mean, when we first make a decision for Christ, you know, a lot of times we make that decision because we just want to avoid hell.
Right.
And we don't really know what that means. And I think as we're discipled, as we learn more about who Christ is and learn how to become more like Christ, then we understand what that means to make him Lord of our life. Mm-hmm. But it is a constant struggle.
Yeah. So, is there a challenge that you'd like to leave listeners with a little bit separate than putting God on the throne of your heart for this week?
I would just say maybe looking around at the people that you come in contact with, your circle of influence. Maybe you're the one that's going to be able to speak wisdom into somebody else or notice somebody else. I had a brother-in-law that noticed that I was off track, so to speak, back in the 80s. And actually mid-90s, he invited me to a Promise Keepers rally and it allowed me to get some perspective to see how far I had drifted and how I had not really had Christ as on the throne of my life. Mm-hmm. And I'm so appreciative of my brother-in-law doing that. But maybe the people that are listening today, if it's not for you, maybe you're going to be the one that help influence somebody else. And so be praying about that and asking God to show you who you might be the influence for.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Pastor Ken.
You're welcome. Nice to be with you.
And thanks for investing your time with us on CWC Dive Deep. Join us next Monday as we begin our new series for the Advent season. And if you missed us last week, head on over to cwc.life, where you can catch up on our entire Core 52 series and access all the resources you need to dive deep in your personal study or with your core group. Have a great week.